601-361-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Delighted to have you on board as we face the issues. As we enter into a brand new year, let me say Happy New Year to each and every one of our listeners. It's always our delight to have you join our show each and every day. It is designed around you, our listener. It has a Q&A format. We set the stage. We promulgate the questions, the comments, and ask for your dialogue and discussion on it. And so, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, we'll invite your telephone calls to discuss the issue of the day. We're asking the question, should we erase history? We, speaking about America, should we erase the history of our nation? That seems to be the trajectory that we're on. Someone has eloquently said, if we do not learn from history, we're sure to repeat it. And as we examine America's history, it's easy for us to pick out some of the areas of some or some event that in retrospect we perhaps did not do proficiently as we should have. But does this indicate that America is bad and all that we are today is bad due to some inept leaders or because of what some of our socialist Marxist leaders may have said or done? Should we erase our history as a result of that? The answer is certainly not. Certainly no. Yet today there's a move by some governors and mayors and city leaders that would have you to believe that if we just tear down and destroy and remove all of our historic monuments, we will make everything right. All that was perceived to be wrong in America in the past, we're going to make it right today. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, whatever the time frame may be, when a monument went up, when a statue went up, it had relevance, it had meaning. My question is, that kind of pervades all of my thought today, why is it that 100, 150 years later, all of a sudden America is wretched and bad, and we need to remove all of our historic monuments? Why is it that it's just now happening, and I say just now, past 5, 6, 7 years, and it is it's something that seemingly increases each and every day, where there's a mindset that if we just erase our history, then everything's going to be all right today. Is that the case? What are your thoughts? Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word says in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement, thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And let me just do a little parenthetical footnote with a nexus there. We have those today that want to change, to modify, to extract, and destroy parts of the Word of God. on the basis that in current modern culture, current modern America, those things that were said by God in yesteryear, Old Testament and New, that are not relevant today. Does that mirror somewhat what we're seeing, what we're understanding, what we're recognizing with the attempt to destroy our nation's history by destroying our national heritage monuments? I think there's a corollary there. I think that the further we drift from God, the further we drift away from the fundamentals of the Word of God, the further we remove ourselves from thus saith the Word of God with absolutes, I think we're finding more and more of that mindset, historically speaking, that says, yep, we need to remove these monuments to keep us from thinking about or referring back to the history of our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes truth. It was George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, where Orwell made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we find that to be true today in just about every realm of life. True today. One of the problems that I'm finding, one of the issues that stands out like a sore thumb, if you will, is the fact that, and a survey has revealed it, I have seen it for years, that's this. This survey says 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, think that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, with that mindset, we will destroy America. With that mindset, we will tear the fabric of our nation. And Jesus spoke to that issue very clearly in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 25 and 26. It's an impossibility for a divided home to stand. It's an impossibility for a divided nation to stand. And may I say to you, what we're watching today with the move to destroy our national heritage historic monuments is a move to undermine and destroy the fundamental foundation of our nation. Now, many of those monuments and statues were put up to recognize an individual's accomplishment. Not to say that individual was perfect or that individual did not have human flaws, or to say that individual did not have other areas of his or her life that were not in sync with what we would say today, 100, 150 years later, that it should have been. But somehow, some way, we're making a mockery of our national heritage history. There's a mindset that we're going to measure everything of yesteryear by the thinking and the progressive wokeism of today. And if that be the case, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see a continuing erosion of the fundamentals of our national heritage and our foundation. Psalms 11:3 says, what can the righteous do? Foundations be destroyed? What can the righteous do? And we're watching our foundations being eviscerated. We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. But I want us to understand the major thing that we need to cling to is truth. Truth. You can have all of the fanfare you like. You can have all of the accusation and criticism that you like. You can point fingers at a particular historical figures all you like, but it does not change the truth. In fact, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, that we need to seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo, Tooth for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tooth for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier, makes it easy to find the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for a Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for a Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com. ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our city leaders, i.e., our present Democrat Mayor Donna Deegan made some commitments during her campaign. Donna Deegan was elected by default because of the anger among so many. By the way, one of the candidates, Davis, the way he handled his campaign, trying to eviscerate and destroy the ethics and the values of Al Ferrero. As a result of that, Donna Deegan wound up going to office as our mayor. And she's now claiming that she made a commitment to take down all of the historic monuments in Jacksonville, Florida, if she was elected. So somehow, some way, she believes she was elected because of that promise that affected only a minuscule number of the constituents, i.e. voters in our city. But she thinks it was an overwhelming mandate to do so. There's a mindset with some of our mayors, including Jacksonville, some of the governors, some of the city leaders, some of the city aldermen, some of the city councilmen in our nation today, that have us to believe that if we just tear down, if we just destroy, if we just remove all of the historic monuments, we will make everything right. All that was perceived to be wrong in America's past will all of a sudden be right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about that today. We need to talk about, should we erase American history? Should we erase the history of communities, of counties, of states, of local locations? Should we destroy the history? That's what those national heritage monuments do. They record an historical fact. So what are historical monuments for? What are they for? Why do we have perhaps you know this, why do we have approximately 10,000 various monuments across America? Why do we have, just when it comes to the so-called Confederate monuments, there's about 1,000 that's still strewn across America. Monuments, ladies and gentlemen, are benchmarks of some historical event or some historical person. It's a benchmark. Tells about history, something that took place at that particular point in time. It records where we are and what is taking place, what took place in the past, and what it points to in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, a recognition of some of our historic markers in the history of America. For example, you've got Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Patrick Henry, Andrew Jackson, etc., etc. Now, ladies and gentlemen, were all these men perfect? We could enumerate every name in the historical markers across America, everyone that has a statue or recognition of who they were, and we could ask the question, were all of these people perfect? did they have human flaws? Were they people that had no problems or no causes or no, if you please, frailties in their lives? No. They were just like we are, human beings, with all of the frailties, all of the faults, all of the difficulties in their lives. So should all of these men be recognized as part of America's history? Answer is yes. Not just the ones that I named, but dozens and dozens of others. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call inquiry. What are your thoughts? Should these monuments be taken down? Not just in the Jacksonville area, but nationally. Should we remove all of the historical monuments? Some refer to them as Confederate monuments. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the monuments nationally that have been attacked, that have been torn down, that have been harmed or defaced in some fashion, they were not all Confederate monuments at all. And yet that's the mindset today, that all of these should come down. What are your thoughts? What are your rationales in relationship to that? So the problem we have, ladies and gentlemen, is that when a monument is put up, it's put up as a benchmark. That monument is a historical fact of something that has taken place. For example, just talking to my wife this morning about the monuments and the thoughts on that. Most cemeteries you can go into and you'll see a cross as a major, major marker in that cemetery. What does a cross represent? Death. What does a cross represent? Represents the death of Jesus Christ. Someone can look at the cross, a child or son or daughter, and say, Dad, Mom, what is that cross for? And generally, everyone will respond to it that it's a symbol of death, and in particular, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a benchmark. That's a marker. That's a historical record of that fact. And so also with any other historical marker. Let me just read for our edification what I think is the prima facie evidence of a biblical authorization for historical markers for monuments in America. I'm looking at Joshua, the fourth chapter. The third chapter is where they've crossed over the Jordan River. They've entered into the promised land, they, the children of Israel. They've entered into the promised land. And there's a directive given to Joshua by God himself. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye lodged this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared, of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulders. That's a pretty good-sized stone. Wasn't just a little rock. Take you a stone according unto the number of the tribe of the children of Israel. That would be 12, ladies and gentlemen. And this may be a sign, that this may be a sign unto you. The word sign there is the word Simeon from the Septuagint, which is the Greek text. A sign, a Simeon, a benchmark among you, that when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Verse 7 says, Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The scripture then says, And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And then further in that chapter, verse 20 through 24 says this, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over. Verse 24 says, and all the people of the earth, that all the people of the earth might know, listen, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the text that I believe is the premier text in relationship to how we should view historical monuments. God told Joshua to make sure that a monument was set up indicating the place where they crossed over the Jordan on dry land. It was the hand of God that held the water back. It was the hand of God that protected them and allowed them to cross over, so that in future generations and forever, an individual could say, what are those stones for? And then their relative, their father, grandfather, their relative could say, this is what God did. This is why that marker is there. This is why the memorial is there. This is why that historical marker, that statute, if you will, that individual is there. It's to mark, to be a benchmark as to what God has done in history past. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, when we see what is taking place in America today with the monuments, and right here in Jacksonville, there's a move to erase, to remove our national heritage, our national history. It is the purpose for a monument is to be able to point to the future with future generations. And by the way, we've got some present and future generations that have not been taught Florida history, American history, or U.S. history at all in the classrooms. As a result of that, they're totally ignorant, if I can be benevolent, totally ignorant of the purpose for the monuments. They're totally ignorant for the rationale behind a monument. These monuments, historical national monuments, are there to mark a point in history past as to what has taken place. It's not to say that that which took place met all the criteria of the woke, progressive culture today. The monument, the statute, is not there to say that back at that time they believed as we are, as some believe today. No. A culture has changed. It's a woke culture. It's a new generation. It's a new mindset. And the mindset today is that if it's something that I dislike, we need to be able to remove it, regardless of what it is tearing down and destroying, historically speaking. Just as in the text, when a child sees the monument today, let's say a child sees the monument of Abraham Lincoln. Can you imagine going to see the Lincoln Memorial and all the huge number of marble steps or granite steps going up to the statue itself? And can you imagine a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old standing at the foot of those stairs, those steps, looking up at Abraham Lincoln seated in that Lincoln Memorial monument and saying, Dad, who is he? Why is he there? What's the purpose? It's an opportunity for Dad to give a history lesson for that child to understand what Abraham Lincoln, who he was, why it's important, and why his monument is there. Does that make sense? Do we understand that? When you see here in the city of Jacksonville the statue of Andrew Jackson, does that bother you? Do you recognize the reason that it is there? it is to recognize that our city is named after him, Jacksonville. It is the marker. It is the landmark. It is the historical indication of who he was. Does that mean that he was a saint? No. Does that mean that he didn't have flaws? No. Does that mean that somehow, some way, his statue should be taken down? No. Not on your life. But ladies and gentlemen, we live today in a woke culture, a culture that says it's okay to take down those markers, those stones, if you will. Listen, in Proverbs 23, let's go back, Proverbs 22:28, the scripture says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Then in Proverbs 23:10, very much the same thing, "Remove not the old landmarks, neither and enter not unto the fields of the fatherless." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if there's anything that could be any clearer, biblically speaking, that it is wrong to remove the landmarks, the benchmarks. And I'm concerned about it for our nation. I'm concerned about it for our city and what is taking place in our nation and in our cities. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're faced with the mob rule mentality. Today there's a mindset that if I don't like something, I can just burn enough buildings, I can just make enough noise, I can get enough national CNN Communist Network news attention, and then my minuscule voice can then be heard and I can have my way. For example, if the LGBT sodomite community and the Planned Parenthood or other groups march, demonstrate, or scream, may I say to you, if they're saying discrimination or some bias, our weak-kneed, liberal, progressive political leaders will appease them in some fashion. Even though it's a small percentage, they'll be appeased. That's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm concerned about it. I'm looking at a headline, Florida Times Union, December the 28th. Headline says, "Mayor," that's Donna Deegan, "ordered removal of Confederate statues." In the article, it says, "The long-debated fate of a Confederate memorial in Springfield Park appears sealed as crews took down two bronze figures from the park early Wednesday morning at Jacksonville Mayor Donna Deegan's instructions. The large granite monument titled Tribute to the Women of the Southern Confederacy. The monument, also known as the Women of the Southland, who stood in Springfield Park, north of downtown Jacksonville, since 1915. Keep that in your mind. Monument's been there since 1915. Deegan said it was a divisive presence that had no place in our city park. Further, the article states, I'm reading from the Florida Times Union, December 28th, headline, "Mayor orders removal of Confederate statues." The article further states, "Symbols matter," she said. This is Deegan. "They tell the world that we stand for what we stand for and what we aspire to be. By removing the Confederate monument from Springfield Park," Deegan says, "we signal a belief in our shared humanity, that we're all created equal, the same flesh and same bones, same blood running through our veins, the same heart and the soul." Ladies and gentlemen, they simply are benchmarks of our history. This, ladies and gentlemen, bows to the radical group. To take down a monument bows to the radical groups today that say we need to change history, we need to whitewash history, that we need to remove something somehow, some way. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, since the death of George Floyd, listen, the death of George Floyd triggered it across America to start removing benchmarks. Why is that so? What's the nexus? What's the connectivity there? We're going to talk about that on this broadcast today. And right after the top of the hour news break, we invite your calls to have that discussion. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.